A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Look at the situation I had with my daughter's mum, for example. Mm. I have a woman that's going to be essentially in my life forever. Mm. And I have women I don't know telling me, I'd never date you because you have a daughter.
This is the Dope Black Dad podcast. My name is Marvin Harrison, and it's a happy new year. We are. Thank you for the woohoos. The woohoos
I
always
actually
good.
Did a boop, 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 but it
wasn't. Oh, good. You went urban. You went in the city. You're not even from here. How do you know about boop, 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 boop? What's the.
Move on. I'm moving on.
That's global, bro.
What's the. Don't talk is about that? My immigration 100%. Status online.
That's global.
That's global.
I thought it was Jamaican, to be fair.
It was Jamaican.
And then.
What did you want to say?
Gentry. Yeah, what's your version of it?
It was.
It's the same.
Yeah, 100%.
Wow.
It's the same.
I thought there was an African version, that's all.
Whoa.
Hey. Oh, wow. Bit African talk in the morning.
Start off peaceful.
All right, cool. Today we are joined by Taser Black, by Jason Black, who are not related, but we'll talk about that in a second. Romantha Boita and Darwood Grace.
Yeah.
Hi everyone, happy new year.
Hello.
Happy new year.
Has anyone ever pointed out before the black thing?
Nah, never. Ever.
I didn't know it was his name. No, because it's not my real name.
No, I know. So yeah, that
I'm known as an alias.
Why are you not saying the alias? You can say the alias.
You know the alias.
Okay, cool. So you know it's J2K.
Exactly.
What's really beautiful is that this is a bit of a nice coming together moment. Mm-hmm. Because Jason and I went to Antigua in 2002. 22?
Oh.
Missing out 20 years. But I think I've known you about that. Maybe not that long.
5, 6, 2000.
Yeah. 6, 7, something like that. But I feel like I've known everyone here for over 15 years. So that's a good start.
Long time.
But we went in 2022 and then Taser and I went in 2023. Do you want to, there was no scandal. By the way, this is by far the most polite and respectful trips I've ever done with a group of people. I've never actually gone away with a group of people and felt like, I could do that again.
That was a good trip, man. I enjoyed it. It was a lot to deal with in terms of like schedule. But yeah, in terms of an island and like, because I've never been before prior to that, and I thought it was a dope island, man. People were very nice. That was my one take. Not my one takeaway, but the thing that really stood out was that the energy and the vibes of the people is very, very nice.
Yeah, yeah. Where is your family from, though?
Jamaica.
Oh, both sides, yeah?
Yeah.
That's dope. Yeah, okay.
Wow. So I, you know, like even a feeling of a bit of a over there.
Yeah.
None nothing. Of that. It was wicked. But just very jam packed, though. Boy. It started to feel like work, and I know obviously we weren't there to just play, but like it just felt like what we're trying to do. I'm not sure how we can get that done.
Yeah.
With all this cramming in, I feel like it needs to be spaced out and let it breathe a bit so that it can be digested, and then we can then present that.
How do you normally like to holiday? If you were to go somewhere, what would your mode be in a hot
nowadays?
Country? Yeah.
Boy, I just get a villa. And that's it. Sit down. That's all I want to do. Get a bike and just
zoom around.
Just that's it, man. I don't want to do too much. I just want to just take it in, literally. So when you're thrown in something like that, I'll say thrown. That sounds mad, but yeah, it's just like rah.
If you had to describe it, because obviously people at home don't really know what was happening. Yeah, the mission was you were there to Carnival promoting Antigua.
Yeah, we're there to promote Antigua. And then, but with that, as soon as we've landed, so obviously we've had a long flight. So you just want to sit down in your in your room for a sec. It's like straight out to the lobby, straight to the FET. FET around for like hours, yeah.
Hours.
Early, like start hours. Early as well, and then get back, go to bed because it's now late. Get up, FET again, a morning FET, an evening FET, an afternoon FET.
I said everything FET, man.
It was FET, 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 FET.
The way you're saying FET is so aggressive, yeah.
It was so funny because, yeah, like obviously I had to learn that FET. You get me? But it was good, but just taxing, man. And I feel like we're in this beautiful island. I don't want to feel taxed like this. I want to take it in and be able to show you, like, me refreshed, glowing, and taking in all the fun. You get what I'm saying?
Bro, the video updates were like, yeah, so we're going to, where we going now? It was like that.
Yeah. Like, it started to get like that. But take nothing away from it, man. Beautiful island and beautiful people and the vibes is nice.
How was it for you, Taze?
Pretty much, he said exactly the same thing. The funny thing is that I think Sean mentioned that he's calmed it down because of the you lot. And it still felt like, yo, like, this is just heavy, man. As soon as we get back to the hotel, we don't even have a chance to kind of put your head down and have a nap. Before you know it, you got to be ready for the next motive. Yeah. It's just like, come on, man. I think by day five, I'd pissed the crew off because I'm taking my time. I'm strolling. And plus, you know, where my room is to the lobby,
it's far, bro.
It's not down the road. Yeah. So,
I'd pick up an ice cream on the way. Because it's on my route, bro.
It was actually a 12-minute walk. From our rooms to the reception was a 12-minute walk.
Yeah, mad see.
So by the time you got the ice cream, was probably about halfway.
About six minutes in, it made
sense to go get an ice cream.
You know how some people are? Everyone's 8 o'clock is 8. Someone's is 8:05. Someone's is 7:55.
No. Yeah. Oh, no.
Some people is 7:45. So the person who come at 7:45 is vexed at the person who came at 8:05. But then the driver's not here. So then who's in the wrong? So who's in the wrong now?
You know, I hate those kind of people who arrive and just because something went wrong and they're late, they're like, yeah, well, we're still waiting for so-and-so.
Yeah,
and I'm like, but you're still late. You're still 30 minutes late.
You're early.
I would have been that. I would have been the other guest.
Her and Scarlett would have been hanging out.
We'd have been
talking behind my back in that.
Bruv, I'll be honest, there was nothing. It was all that happened was there in that moment, and then it ended.
Yeah, I know.
There was no hangover. It was, and that's why I said it was the only trip I can say, and I don't know why, because it was different people both times, that I could do again. Because I've been on trips where there's pasa stories, scandal, people are doing stuff, someone's almost fighting. I'm like, nah, I don't walk around like this. So there was nothing. And so everything that happened was in the moment, and then it all moved on. So a very successful trip. But I think the idea of like being taken out to a country to visit the country is by far one of my favorite offerings I've ever got. One of my favorite blessings.
Yeah.
I do think it was too intense, but I almost think because I learned from the first time, you just got to be there.
Mm.
You don't have to partake. You haven't got to engage. Mm. You just got to be there and do the bare minimum of just being there until you have to document or when the fun really starts. But I agree with you that getting there early and like nothing being full is not.
No, I kind of disagree though, because you want to not just be there. I want to be engulfed. Like I want to feel.
Yeah.
I want to feel here, not just be here.
But basically, you know what? If you arrive at the one that's in the morning where we were going on until 7 a.m. That was my favorite one, by the way. It started at like...
What, the paint, the Juve?
Yeah, the Dutty... Is it not Dutty Fet? It wasn't that We did the Dutty Fet where it was like the daytime one for Juve breakfast.
With my friend painting around.
But there was one that starts at night and it goes on into the morning with the fire, with the hose trucks, with the fire trucks.
Oh, yeah. In the park. That was one of my best ones.
That was one of the best ones.
Yeah.
So I feel like we could have arrived there at like 2-3 o'clock.
What did they do with the fire trucks?
So the fire trucks, they had the water on the fire trucks and they were just hosing people.
Yeah.
So you can imagine that first when I've gotten there, I'm not used to that.
Yeah.
So
and I'm thinking, is in the middle of the night.
Yeah, we got there about midnight, but people are arriving at 2, 3, some people are arriving at 4. So you can imagine I'm avoiding the water. I'm thinking, why am I? No, but I'm like, why am I doing that? Even the whole paint thing, I'm avoiding it. I'm like, just go ahead, man. And it made the vibe better. And the people are walking around with the aerosol can spraying fire in the air. It was sick. It was sick once I decided to say, all right, cool, I'm going to let go.
But
can I just say, I'm not a Soca fan as well. So that's one reason why I was a bit like, I didn't know I was hearing
it.
I didn't know I was hearing the same 8 tracks every day.
Well, this
that's a triple.
That was so racist.
It's racist.
No, it's not.
Wait. I'm going to slightly defend you because Wait a minute. Stop.
Are you both doing the racism?
Like going to South Africa and saying, no, I don't want to hear I'm a piano.
This was not, it's not my issue because I can listen to soca, right? Take it in, and especially in the environment, for me, it's even better, right? But yeah, I have thought there's not enough songs. I have thought that current songs or whatever. So even when it down to like Notting Hill Carnival, I feel like there's not enough songs. Mm. So.
What did you get in trouble because you went off? Right, you went off script.
Nah, so here's the
your
thing.
Float went off script.
No, so here's the thing: we don't go off script, right? So here's what it is.
Improvise.
Everyone knows we do that. We do the kind where we've got our float, the home float, right? The latest float on the streets, right? Cool. So where it is, we've read the rules by whoever the band is, whatever. We're told, right? Cool. 80% soca, 20% whatever you need to do. Cool. We do that. But obviously, at the points where it's 20% time, that's when it gets the littest, right? So I think when they see back the footage of when it's lit, when we're promoting and when we're, you know, videos all going out, people on social media, and they're just seeing that part of it.
Right, okay.
So for them, it feels they're like, oh, you're not playing enough soca. We are playing the soca. But that's not what people are necessarily, not everyone's here for that. Or they're here for a bit of it, bit of this, bit of that. So, and I think the problem is, like going back to what Taze was saying, is that maybe there's not enough songs. Like, do you get what I'm saying? To last 7 hours.
Yeah.
Without repeat, same song, same song.
So I think in Carnival, they have a list of songs that are the Carnival songs for that year. Like, there's a list of them. Because I don't know, the event that we went to,
I was just going to say the
cricket place.
Yeah, so they all danced to the same song. So I've stood there and I'm like, it can't just be me. Have I not heard the same song
they're
eight times?
They're partying now, all of our games.
But then they clear the stage, and then the next week.
Man, maybe.
Yeah, right, yeah. Do you know what I mean? See, look. We can do top 10 right now.
I'm telling you. No, they're bangers, obviously, right? But like you said,
it's the same.
Over and over and over again. Cool, I respect the landscape. But like, when it's 20% time,
you're doing Taliban. You're going in.
I know what you're saying though, because even with me and Chucky's R&B night, we have an hour for like, or maybe even 45 minutes where we kind of go off R&B and slow jams, and we do the hip hop, the R&B. And then there was one night, I can't remember if it was in Birmingham or Manny, where I've gone, the next day I've woken up in the hotel, I've gone on the R&B stories. All of the reposts
is that part.
Yeah. So it's like, now it doesn't feel like an R&B and slow jam, but it is. It's literally 6-7 hours of R&B, but in that 45 minutes of bashment or hip hop or whatever we decide to play, everyone wants to post that.
Of course.
So we've just said, we're not posting it if that's the music that you love.
I hear you.
So in turn, people start realizing and end up posting the R&B and slow jam.
Is that their fault,
so,
though?
It's not their fault. It's not their fault.
You're playing the music at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? For people to come. And I think you could be playing anything. I just think with anything that's like oversaturated at a point, anything that's different, you could probably play rock and roll at a point. People are going to be like, oh, rock. And you get what I'm saying? Not to say they're going to enjoy it the most, but that might be a moment where let me raise up my camera and rock and roll.
So the energy shifted.
So I think it's just anything you play, but it's like some people seem to like kind of outcast the music like and make excuse for that 20% music. Like, oh, it's this, it's that, it's this, it's nothing wrong with it. It's just that it's just come in at a point where it broke it up.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? So
tell us more about your R&B event, because I've actually been to one, and I want to say with the most loving sense, I was jealous because I was like, this is so beautiful. This is more than an event. It feels like I went to church. That's what it feels like. It feels like, you know, when there's like a choir and everyone's singing the same frequency and you're there for a minute and you're like, yo, like I feel love in this room. Like these are my friends. And it's like, it feels really good. So tell us more about it.
So if I can go back to even when I started Faded, so I think people forget here, when I started Faded, also, can I just say, this is such a funny moment because one of the reasons why I got kicked out of venue is because of my dear friend over here. But it's fine. Yeah. It's fine.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my days.
Yo, is he the black sheep of the family?
The very first year.
Oh, my. I forgot about that.
It's this, bro. We've gone back a long time. So, Faded's introduction to the scene at the time, this is 2012, was because they weren't really playing hip-hop in clubs. Mm. They were playing hip-hop in the city. But if you go at West End,
you weren't even really allowed.
They weren't really offering you hip-hop and R&B. So that's how we started Faded. And as time's gone on with R&B, it just felt like, R&B was the... Before you used to go out, you get at least a strong 20, maybe 15 minutes at the end of the rave. Everyone grabs their numbers. Yes. They don't do that anymore. Mm. Like the rave always ends on a hype. And it's like, I miss those days. So me and Chucky have been going back and forth about doing an R&B event for the longest. And during, I think it was just coming out of lockdown, COVID, I think 2021, we got a space in Enfield and we did it with just our friends, 200 people. And it was so sick. Like everyone enjoyed it. It felt spiritual, like you said. So we said, oh, let's continue it. So we went to Amazing Grace again, worked, did Amazing Grace twice. Then we went to Site 5. Site 5 was where we did Summer 2022, I think. That's when we knew, okay, cool, we're onto something special. And then we just started building and growing from there.
Where is it at now, though? Because I saw tours. I saw a venue that was way bigger than the one I went to. Like, and I went maybe August, I think.
You went
I
summer. Went. So that was when we did the summer series across the summer. We did June, July, August. Now, so just last year, December, we did 3,000 in London. We did 1,500 in Manny. And we did 1,000 in Brum.
Jeez.
And then sick, we went to Bristol, went to Cardiff, and went to Leeds. So 2023, we did six cities.
Big up you, man.
Love, honestly, man.
How are you marketing? Because like, we could never have done a Sunday show tour in Birmingham, Leeds. And what's
time,
the difference?
Though, man. Yeah, it's a different time.
I ain't gonna lie to you. I guess it's the pod, socials, and just word of mouth. Like I was on the phone to Chucky one time when we were about to drop Manny tickets. And I was like, imagine there's group chats in Manchester right now going mad because they're like, who's gonna grab the tickets? Who's gonna get the tickets? Is it you? 100. Is it me? I'm gonna be at work.
No, because it's lit though, not obviously not to take away from your podding and stuff like that, but from you know, outside looking in, I'm just like, that just looks like something you need to be at. You know what I'm saying? Especially like that gap where there's that gap of no R&B. I say this because like, listen, I've thought about this for years. Oh, I need R&B rape, R&B rape, need an R&B rape.
Is there in the erection section?
That's so old school.
I know. But if you're bringing it back, if you're bringing it back,
what's the CD's called? Is it Black China? Black China? Is it what's it called?
I can't remember.
Oh, there was a CD era that had an erection section as a CD.
Basically, they play slow jams.
I remember this.
So that's when you
but the grinding ones, not
you grind.
No, but we have that, but we don't call it the erection section.
I think you need to call it the erection section. It needs to be obvious.
The way DEI works.
It's 2024 now.
You'll get cancelled. I know.
That's crazy.
What? No. But listen, back in the day, because I'm old enough to remember, they would say, "Grab your girl." It's the erection section.
No, I hear you.
Like, from you got into the motive, the first thing you were doing is looking for who you can dance with and either asking or making sure, like, oh, you had a way to side up to a girl and dance with her where she wouldn't push
away.
This is
pen and paper days, isn't it?
100%. 100%. 100%. 100%.
It's a new day. It's a new dawn.
I know.
That's the pen and paper days.
It is. Yeah. Though.
But
it
the was. Thing is, we kind of, like, I entered the game in pen and paper days. That was, like, my entry level. If you, like, you had to have paper torn up.
Yep.
Ready to go. Because if you didn't, it was slightly long. You couldn't bring out a sheet with bare numbers on it. So
what's the paper for?
To take someone's number. But if you had your whole sheet and it had bare numbers and names on it, that looked reckless. Yeah. So you had to tear it up into little neat little sections.
That's why business cards make sense.
Yeah.
Here's my card.
Exactly. Yeah.
No, exactly.
For sure. That was a flex back in the day.
I know, but it was too prepared though.
Nah, it was too prepared and
it might come across a
it's
little
like
weird.
It's like you do this often.
Yeah.
It
looked sleazeball a little bit when you did that, to be fair. Yeah, it did.
Get them out of your plastic on.
With the printing company on the back because you didn't want to pay too much.
Yeah.
So what's next for it? What happens now?
So we're aiming doing thousands. For 12 cities this year. Nice. We've confirmed Dublin. Dublin sold out right now. We're about to confirm Denmark.
Sick.
And then we want to do a couple other cities as well. Come on, man. You know we're going Sweden.
I'm coming.
You know we're going Sweden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, I've heard it's really nice. It's a bit cold, a bit dark, but it's I'll
come. Yeah. Damn, son.
Jason, what I love about you is that I feel like very similar to Darwood, actually. I think our relationship grew because I just observed what you were doing and I was like, I love how you move. And so first it was musically, and I think we obviously met mutually through Carl, who introduced us. We're not gonna do that. We're just gonna say it and move on. Yeah. So we met mutually through Carl, and I think you did a couple of albums, and there was a couple of music things that was going on. And then it was like, you know, just
studios and little movements,
just doing stuff.
Yeah.
So started off with Crep Protect.
You used to wear that one jacket all the time.
What?
That would be the heart of it.
Can I say something, yeah?
Do you have a photo?
No, because there's always trauma.
I'm sure I can dig it.
Nah, if someone knows you for longer than 15 years, there's always a trauma that just comes out, yeah? So, you know, like, the guy was older than me, so I looked up to him, yeah? And he made these jackets, and the jackets were sick. So they had these giant hearts on them. And like they were really hard to get. Like he wouldn't give you one. Like you had to buy it. And I used to work for him for free, by the way. This is why people need to understand the process of like intern programs. You had to do intern programs. I did the hours. And I never and that was the first thing he gave me because I made him a lot of money doing something. So he gave me that jacket, said you can have it. By the way, he's like, I wear it, but like you can have it.
So it was your trophy.
It was my trophy, yeah, for doing some work. So I was like over the moon, and I would not let that jacket go. It was like a marker of so much meaning.
It was
cool story, bro.
Yeah, it's insane.
Definitely worked though. Yeah, Marvin was about. Honestly, he was working.
The thing is, and the thing, so I that process is now doesn't exist. Like there isn't that grunt work anymore as a prerequisite. You just work and you say I'm the best. Okay. I saw this person's TikTok and they were like, I'm one of the best strategists in the world. Yeah. And the guy looked about late 20s. I don't even know how that's even possible, but he's like, I'm one of the best strategies in the world. And I went to this event and here's my 5 advice tips to this event. Yeah. And I was looking at him like, he was like, yeah, this event, what they should do is get Nike to sponsor it. And I was like, but my guy.
Marvin, do you know how scary that is though? People can just come online and the video is cinematic. All of a sudden, I actually believe what you're saying.
Little black and white.
Little mist in the background.
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, man. I was like,
and
this
is got the right tone. You're believable. That's if someone walked in this room with like a white doctor's jacket on and told us something was wrong with your health, you'd probably lean in. You wouldn't question him as quickly as you would.
People now have access in a way that's frightening. But anyway, so we are obviously observing you over so much time, but watching Crep Protect for me is a massive home run. And now you've actually developed a trainer line, which I think is by far the hardest thing to do. I don't know, you could probably tell me more, but like it feels like it's the hardest thing, because I almost want to say, what's the audacity to do things in the way that you've done it? Because what in terms of Crep Protect, people weren't making products at that time. People would do services and make them look good, and they'll do print and deliver t-shirts, but they would never go and make something that had like ingredients on the bottle and a can and a brand and put it in shops. What was the audacity you had to go make those two things?
Do you know what it is? Like, obviously being, so I was an artist in it, obviously, for a long time, and still, so I've been doing that for so long, I'm very observant in it. So while I'm doing what I'm doing, I'm observing around, you know, how I'm navigating, how I get to navigate, who I work with. Mm. So, you know, you do a lot of brand work, you know, you become hot, whatever. People want a piece of you. People want to give you free clothes, want to do this. So then you start learning the value of these things. I think that's where it was. I just started to understand the value of everything.
Because you're like a child of Adidas. Like, I've always known you to have a deep relationship with them. Yeah.
King. Right. So at the time, and it was a great relationship. Like, big up Paola, big up Queer. But then
get in there through Tembi first.
Tembi was
We
all did.
Old school.
Yeah.
That's how
Tembi
I got
was the initial, So and then obviously whatever. And then just working, doing that, and then seeing how things work behind the scenes and how this product gets to me and what that product's value is once it's on me. Do you know what I'm saying? Just understanding those kind of things. And then so when I'm doing that, so then obviously I'm doing music still, and it's, you know, getting older, and you start looking around.
No, but describe that though, because I saw this little 25-year-old boy on TikTok saying that like Stormzy's finished, and I was like, Stormzy's a new artist to me.
I remember I used to get stick back in the day. Yeah, I was on a DVD and it said I must have been out maybe a year or two, like, and they was like, oh, what have you got to say for the new artist? I was like, the new artist. I'm the new artist still. Do you get what I'm saying? I'm thinking. So like, I've said it thinking that, but they're thinking, right, hey, you don't. If I was down, thinking, nah, that's competitive. I was being competitive at that point. So I'm thinking, I'm new. How are you asking me like I've just come out in my head.
I just got here.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Arrived.
You asked me about that. I remember. I'm thinking, nah, I support. But like, boy, I'm still new. So I need, anyway, digressed. Getting into Crep Protect and doing that. So where it was, my passion for shoes and all these things anyway, you know, I was always fresh. So maintaining that was something I already was always doing. So you'd come to my mum's yard, it would be a bag of Reebok workouts in the passage. You know what I mean? White, off-white, dirty, maybe. But they needed to be clean. So I was just a fan of cleaning my stuff, keeping things maintained. Anyway, so long story short, got into doing that. actually came to you, remember?
We don't have to
Let's talk
up.
About how you dropped the ball.
No,
man.
We don't have to bring this up.
No,
there's no need. We're successful now, it doesn't matter.
Came to this guy's like, yo, doing this thing. You get involved. Long story short, man, just took, man was just longing it off like.
No, do you know what? I was getting married, yeah? So all my nice. Money was being presented into that particular space in my life, yeah?
He was being long.
And he came to me, and the thing is, it made sense. It was already out. So it's even worse because it wasn't like an idea on a piece of paper. He had already put it out, and I was already like, this is it.
No, this was...
Before?
This weren't nowhere. This was probably, maybe I've had a website. This was early. This wasn't out.
Was it? I think you had a video.
No retailers.
You had a video
but I was
of
these on my phone.
Okay, yeah.
So. These were just on my BlackBerry.
Yeah. But there was proof. There was proof of it happening.
I'm making them on my phone. There's no edit. There's no cut. It's one shot. Like I buy my tap in the sink with ketchup coming off.
Yeah.
There wasn't no pro. There was nothing going on. There was no budget. Nothing. Anyway.
I take that as a loss. I take it.
Yeah. L. Anyway, so I forgot the bloody question now.
you said, how did you, like, where was the drive, the audacity to even...
So basically, yeah, the drive and audacity to do it in a nutshell was just that, you know, I started understanding the value of everything, our value as a culture and people, entertainers, not entertainers, whatever it is, but we just have this rich culture of, you know, setting trends, creating things. And, you know, I just wanted to, yeah, I just thought, I know what this value is to us. So if I've got a product now, I know how to market this. I know how to promote this. I am the voice. I am the, you know, I'm the consumer as well. So, you know, it's different. Like, you know, companies can have money, but they've got no intel. They've got no insight. So they have to pay for that kind of thing. I'm all of that already. Do you get what I mean? Hence why it was able to attach to the culture so quickly, so easily. Because one, obviously I've got a network as well, but I'm active on the music side as well. So I'm taking this can everywhere. I'm on tours with Roll Deep everywhere. I'm doing everything. So that's coming with me. I'm demoing to whoever wants to watch. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm knocking on doors in, you know, at the backstage of the show. Whoever's in there, I don't know. Labyrinth, yo, come and have a look at this quickly. You get what I'm saying? And I'm doing that. I take a picture of someone. So I'm just running around with it. And these are the things that, you know, someone in a building, in a corporate is paid to do somehow, some way. Do you get what I'm saying? And, you know, I was just able to do all these things. So my point was just to just go for it because I felt like I know how to do this. I didn't have no schooling into knowing that. I didn't go to school to learn any of the marketing, any of these things. But just so many years being an artist, an independent one as well, where you have to do everything yourself. You have to get creative and think of a way to be seen, be heard. Do you get what I'm saying? Whether it's down to your MySpace at that time where I need my profile picture to flash so it can just, you can see it moving when you're scrolling. Do you get what I'm saying? It stands out. Do you get what I'm saying? So we just used to doing these things. And that was really it, man. I just thought, we just got to go for it. Do you get what I'm saying?
So I got, how did you come up with the name Crep Protect? Because that stuck immediately. I remember being so impressed. Because I just assumed that, yeah, he's used the rap bar in...
I mean, crep is what we used anyway. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. As a culture, as a people, that's a word that we've used. Our grandparents used, like, you know, if you're of Caribbean descent or whatever, like, I remember being told, go quickly, put on your crep and let's go. Do you know what I'm saying? Church or wherever it is. So crep is just a word that we used. Obviously, it's a London brand. What better way to, you know, it just felt right.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, in those days, in the early days, we'd be told like, rah, you know what, you should probably change the name. Some people might not understand it. It's too slangy, If you want to go across seas, they're not going to know. But I never saw it as a problem. I thought, you know what, if you like something, you're going to learn it. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I want to know what that is, I'm going to try and understand what it is. There was no point in ever changing the name. You didn't have to change it now. Look, it's fine. Do you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I guess, yeah, just believing in...
And then to go deeper into manufacturing and actually making shoes. Like, as I said, clothing lines are difficult anyway. Let's not even try to simplify and be like, clothing line is nothing. That's difficult. But to go make a shoe from scratch, design and then produce.
Yeah.
Because the amount of money that goes into R&D to the point that Nike don't even make new shoes anymore. They just redesign existing like structures because it's so difficult to make a new one that pops. What made you want to go make a shoe?
Well, again, it's just like, been the consumer for so long, do you know what I mean? My passion is in the footwear, do you get what I'm saying? Done it once before with that. Now I'm like, right, I wanna make, who hasn't wanna make their own shoes? This is really how I put it, plain and simply. We've all grown up like, I'd love to make a shoe, Some people get opportunities with brands to design stuff, or you could do a Nike ID, but there's a passion for it in all of us, do you know what I mean? I've just had the same passion. But I just thought, you know what? let me just go for it because I want to do this now. Like there's an angle that I want to come at with the market with in, and I just want to do it. So, yeah.
What's been the hardest part that we just wouldn't get? That's just like super difficult in doing the shoot versus
it's all hard. The process is hard. It's long. It's not necessarily like hard, like it's hard, but it's just like dealing with factories, dealing with your designer, dealing with people who, you know, you just sometimes you need to speak. Like, because we have had experience in retail and things like this, you understand, like, once you're on the ride, you've got to go. Do you get what I'm saying? Sometimes you meet people that don't understand this. Do you know what I mean? And it's just like, I got to keep telling you, why have I got to keep chasing you? Why have I got, it's these type of things happen. Then you got factories where, you know, if you ain't got that relationship yet, obviously your new brand, you're never going to have that relationship so far. So then they're kind of putting you to the side, or they're taking log with your samples, or there's all these kind of things, and you have to keep going around because obviously anyone would tell you it's not really wise to, like, people have different multiple factories to create what they need to create just in case this one's shut for whatever reason, this one's on holiday, you got to be able to, so.
Chinese New Year, you know.
Chinese New Year.
So no one even thinking about that.
Well, this
well.
One I don't want to ever, I don't produce in China, but that alone is just long, you know what I'm saying? Because even I produce in Portugal and all my materials are sourced from Italy because I want that quality, I want that, do you know what I'm saying?
That make it more expensive.
It does. But not to say China ain't got quality, because it does have a bit of quality. It does have quality.
But it's far from where you
are. It's far, the timings, the Chinese New Year's, all these things can make it a bit problematic at this stage, at an early stage, because this is an early stage. So I'm still building relationships. I'm still trying to hustle my way around and do these things. So until you're fully flowing, I just need to go where I'm going to just get, not an easy ride, but just people that are just on it and just ready to go with me. I mean, look, you got brands like Prada, you got Balenciaga, they produce in China on the low. They just say made in Italy or whatever. They do all these things. So there's not quality there. But I choose to just work in Europe for now until I can establish some good
factory partnerships.
You get what I'm saying? So that's what I would say is the hardest part of it. Do you get what I'm saying? The idea and the concepts and all that, that's me. And that's already down. That's, you know, I've got that. It's just like, putting it all together to make it kind of just flow now. Do you know what I mean?
Just before we get into it, I just want to quickly give Taser your flowers real quick, because I met you quite early on, and you were around us when we were doing Sunday Show. And it's always interesting because I think everyone from that time that is now doing something good now, there was an identifier. There was like a clear awareness of like, you're different. And at first, I honestly didn't understand what the thing was. I just knew what it was, because you hadn't actually developed it. You wasn't doing anything yet, but your energy, you created such a thing around you by just being. And it wasn't until you did Opinionated. Do you remember when you did this and you did the first ever one at Sunday Show?
Yeah.
And it was you and Aaron Taser, and it was basically like, it was basically an early stage podcast, like calling, they'll stand on the stage, they'll come up with a topic, and people would come and like feed into the topic, and you would like moderate it. And it's almost like ahead of its time in a weird way. But like from there, then obviously I saw the first 4Ts run. I might be in the second, because I think you had a very early one.
First one, 2009.
Yeah, so you was doing the 4Ts, and then just watching the continuous progression is really impressive. And genuinely just makes me happy from just like, when you get to see it. Like, I got to see Mo the Comedian, I've got to see Ed Sheeran early, I got to see people early, and there's always a clue. And so I think it's great that the things that you've done, the journey you've gone on, I think the podcast obviously is amazing. I was a bit surprised that you left One Extra, though. I like that fit for you. I remember when the conversation came up around me, it wasn't like they were asking me, but they came up around me and I was like, that's a bloody great idea. Like, why is that not happening? Why is more people from that really are around not on broadcasting? And then you decided not to continue.
Obviously, I still did the podcast alongside One Extra, but I think when I first did it, the idea would work. Working with Cyan was what was more appealing than actually working broadcasting. Right. So when we were doing it, it was fun. But I just felt like podcasting is more my thing. And then the R&B event started picking up. And my Saturdays felt like we couldn't go on the road because I have to do One Extra. So Saturdays were hooked up. Because I'm going to get to the point where Friday we're in Denmark, Saturday Stockholm, Sunday London. I'm not going to be able to do that if I'm having to broadcast on radio. So it's one of them things where when I sat down with the head of One Extra and I said, listen, I'll be honest with you, it's not that I want to leave. I have this R&B. I've never seen a brand grow like this before. Any brand grow like this. So can I just give it my all and see where it goes? And he's like, yeah. And one extra will have me back if I wanted to go.
That'd
back.
Be
so,
yeah, that'd be very.
Do you know what I mean? But right now, I just want to see where I'm taking this brand and see how far I can take it.
Mm. Is this an arena thing? Is this like an arena with Summer Walker and, I don't know, a whole bunch of people performing? I mean, is that the thing?
One day, we'll see. If it makes sense, it makes sense. Me and Chucky have this thing where if it feels right, it feels right.
Mm. Nah, it looks like it's heading towards a festival.
I mean, if it makes sense, nah, it makes blatantly. Sense. The only thing about festivals is they cost a lot of money.
Now, someone's going to come in with the coin. People just normally need a vehicle to deliver what they want to do in.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
When you've got the brand and you can probably pull half the audience on your own, it's like, and also people will then have this thing, and I think Sunday Show had this. Our elevation was, we were very local. It was like, if you knew people, you knew people. It was like, you know if you know. Mm. Then it moved into like UK artists. Then when we started doing American artists, we really didn't have any consent to do that. It was a punt. Me and Apple were just bored of doing the same lineups. And I think actually the thing that broke it was, I want to say Omarion at Strawberry Moons.
I remember that day.
Omarion had no business being at Strawberry Moons bar. And to the point that actually he arrived and his tour manager came in, did the circle, and was like, absolutely not, and tried to walk out. And we'd already paid him, yeah? So, and obviously, me and him and I scrambling, like, whoa, what do you mean? What do you mean? And then he was like, look, there's no exits. You're walking on the stage, and there's no way out. So if anything goes off, how do I get my talent out? And we're like, no. So we had to, me and him had to act as additional security, give him our security from the venue to act as like a path to get him in and out. And it was one of the best shows we ever had. But that was the first time we were profitable in a way that was like, I could not do anything for a couple of weeks. Like,
but you see what you said, so with the question you asked him, we said the audacity. So you got to remember, when we're doing this R&B event, we're just doing it and we're just seeing how it reacts. So people are like, you knew this was going to happen. I didn't know we were going to sell 3,000 tickets in 30 seconds. Mm. I didn't know by the time of the day of the event, we're going to have 13,000 people on the waiting list waiting to buy a ticket. I didn't know what it is.
13,000?
Yeah. So that's why amazing. I know I can do a festival. I know I can do those venues, but does it make sense now? No.
No.
But one day it will.
Well, let me talk to my investor still.
You know what it is what I see happening. I know Myso have that one in Sansibit? It's in Croatia, I think.
Mm.
And they do it, and they've been battering it for a few years now, but I don't think there's one for younger people. That's an R&B, and that's old school R&B.
Mm.
And that, so you, there's a cleanup waiting to happen.
So my thing is, I would have loved to have been able to do Sunday Show in a more professional way. It would have made it last longer. It was like at the size where we still had to do it, every element of it. And we didn't have the platforms to go and like build a database. Like it was like buying tickets online was I'm coming on the door. And so I think those types of things, like being able to build a waiting list, and like that would have really preserved it, because we would have had a database to be like, we're putting a show out tomorrow, and there would have been people to do it. Like right now, we would have to go around and be like, Sunday Show is back. Like it's so out of character. So I think it would have been, I would love to do one like ceremoniously, but I could never imagine committing to it at this point. But I wish at the point of like being 50-50, all the things that you have available to you, like even like, I love your visual branding as well. Even being able to like represent that on Instagram would have been dope.
Mm.
we would have got away with so much more. So what I wanted to do today, because it's great to have you all here, I actually want to go over something, but I think we have to do it if we have time. But I have this thing about TV dads being a real great introduction to fatherhood for all of us. And we're all fathers now, look at us. Full grown.
Jason. Yes, boy, I'm finally well,
you,
in
you,
there.
You announced your child like it was a drop, like it was like just a...
Jason, don't even hang in. I did the same thing.
I was like, no.
My drop was
in my
so
head,
sick.
I went on the journey, I was like, sick. No way.
It was like a mixtape.
You know what? Guy. Yeah, I wasn't even thinking.
So I've been offline. When did this happen? Yeah, like, congrats.
3 months ago.
Yeah, congrats. Boy, girl, too.
Girl, yeah.
Nah. Baby. Oh, girl dad as well.
Yeah, girl dad.
What about you, Taser?
She's 10. She turned 10 last month.
Big girl. Oh,
nice. And I thought your daughter was so much older. Oh, because I remember you having a child and me being like, wow. Like, that's that must have been years ago, but my son's 8. So it's like, it's not that.
Bro, do you know someone else said that to me the other day? Her son just turned 8. And I'm like, so wait, are you not trying to say I had a baby before you?
Yeah,
like,
bro.
It didn't feel like it. At the time, I thought, yo, my life is over.
Yeah, bro. I was like, yeah, that's a mature. Yeah.
Bro, I was 20.
Oh, yeah, cool.
I was 23,
times,
24.
Yeah.
I had my son at 24.
Scary, innit?
I was excited.
Were you with her?
At mom? The time, yeah.
Yes, I wasn't. I went with the mom.
So you're done, broken up?
We were never together.
Ah, okay.
See, that my younger son... similar situation, not with the mum, but I was still excited.
For me it was a bit, what? No. And bear in mind, maybe I wasn't excited because like I didn't have a penny to my name at the time. Like, it sounds as if
that makes
you
a big
were,
difference.
Because everyone I meet now is like, oh, she must have trapped you. Said trapped what? I didn't have nothing.
I'm not a trap.
Nothing to trap. You are looking at it based on me now. Me then, I was still trying, and obviously when I knew that I was having a baby, I was like, okay, cool, something's got to give. And that's when I started grinding, and here we are today.
This is it.
You and your daughter's mum, good friends? And stuff.
Yeah, we're cool. There was no way that was going to happen.
Honestly, I feel like, aside from doing it in the marriage way, the best way to do it, you're better off finding someone and being like, let's have children, than trying to create a relationship, create all those things. The romantic part is a massive imbalance to the co-parenting part. They're two different realms. They don't cross over at all. Being a dad is so asexual. Like, when you're in that zone, you're not thinking of like, yo, what, go on, like, you see, like, there's no, it never really resurfaces. Like, and I think after a while, you do get into like a co-parenting part of your relationship, which can go long and can go wrong if you don't interrupt it. Like, if you don't sit down with someone and be like, let's discuss how we balance these realms, it's so easy to get lost in parenting because it's so important.
Like, I rate those couples, that are parents and are also loving, in a loving relationship.
They like each other. What?
No, because deep, there's, the deep one.
Do you know why? Because there's certain, like, for example, and going back to, actually, let me let you introduce the topic and then we'll talk about
it. No, go on.
No, because I was going to say, like, my mom actually cried when my sister said this. And I'm saying this now and they're going to be like, I never said that. You did. My sister said something along the lines of, the first time I've really, really experienced a loving family was when I watched my wife and kids. We didn't have it in our house. And when I look back at it.
The program,
Yeah.
But that's funny because I was actually going to use my man as.
Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But when I look back at it, I'm like, I don't remember not living in a loving house. It was just, we just got on.
Well, that's the thing, like, when they talk about, growing up and parents, two-parent home, one-parent home, you're not really aware of nothing. You're just aware of, this is just what it was. And it's only till people start talking about these things, like, later down the line, how was it for that? It's like, what do you mean that? Was it like,
this is my norm.
That's the normal. I don't know any other way. Do you get what I'm saying? So, it's interesting.
No, but the thing is that it's interesting because the actual topic we're talking about is TV related. So, this idea of like building a dad. So my method of figuring out what kind of dad I wanted to be was based on TV characters and being like, I want to take that, a little bit of Uncle Phil, a little bit of like Michael Carl, and I want to be that person in my home because I never had it firsthand. So I was guessing. And I feel like doing it just on like how I was never going to cut it. Like I'm such an individual anyway. Like I'm very hard to like pin down and like, I think one thing I said about my family is like, I was more peaceful when I looked at my family from the outside in than sitting at the table with my family. Like I found that as chaos. Someone's knocking over a drink, someone's arguing, someone's crying, someone's like, I'm just like, this is too much information. But if I sat on the counter and just watched my family, I'd be like, oh, I love them so much. They're so beautiful. And I was like, this is chaos otherwise.
It's just so mad you say that. Obviously, I'm the newest dad here, really, I guess. So I'm just experiencing all this in the last 3 months, innit? So I'm looking at, and bro, you know, the maddest thing, I would be, baby might be upstairs. I could go upstairs and sit with her. I'd just be looking at pictures of her down there instead. Like, I'd just be looking at pictures of her, like, oh my days, she's so nice. Just can't see her, innit? Like, I'll be downstairs, everyone's got bed. It's mad though. Yeah. Like you said though, like, just looking at it from a distance, if it's a different feeling, it's sick. Like, you can look at it like, bruh, look at this.
I feel like it's a frequency thing, yeah, because when you're like working and like attacking a work problem, oh, I'm incredible. Like, my brain would just be processing, then I know exactly what the 10 steps I'm going to do. If it's family, people aren't the same variable as like a work objective. And there's loads of gray areas. So even when you think you're doing something good, you'll just get feedback that it ain't the thing. And you're like, yo, I'm trying super hard at this and I'm getting hammered and I'm naturally just doing work. And people are like, Marvin, what you've done today is incredible. Thank you so much for being. And I'm like, oh, that's really nice. And then I go home and I'm like, that's chaos. And I think that frequency shift and being still enough to hear what your family need from you, which normally isn't very much, by the way, but it's normally the hardest thing to do. They just want your stillness and your time. Like when me and my son, we went to New York, very fortunate. We went to New York just before Christmas. We were doing this Amazon Merry Little Batman launch. And we're on our way there. And I'm like, I got bare time to ask you questions. So I was like investigating, like, you know, what's he saying? Is daddy work? Is it working out for you in terms of like how I'm parenting? And all he asked for and all his references to his best times were when we went somewhere just by consequence and he got to spend just time. Not like time together at home in front of the TV, but just like doing stuff with me, out with me. And he just got to be there. So we did this thing where UK Black British show did a list of 25 entrepreneurs and they put me on, so they do a photo shoot for it. So we're doing a photo shoot and I was like, oh son, come see the pictures with me. So we took some pictures with me. And then the people that were there were like, oh, your dad's great. And like, you know, oh, you're so cute and da-da-da. He remembers that as like the best experience. So that was his number one experience and memory of us together. And I was like, that was so simple. Like,
it weren't nothing difficult.
I was just going there and you just came. Yeah. And I feel like if I had sat there, I would spend money. Let's go Disneyland. That's got to be the best one. And he was like, nah, the one where you just let me come with you.
Yeah.
So it taught me that I got to, especially now he's 8, bring him and then just like involve him in things. And that's much more successful. So
I learned that early with Kareem. Mm. You saw me with him everywhere. Like, literally, I would take him places and then and those are absolutely his best memories.
Yeah, that's all kids want to do is roll. Yeah. I remember just wanting to roll, whether it's whoever, that uncles, whoever, like, you just want to roll.
And that's crazy because when I grew up, and I'm sure when you guys grew up as well, we weren't allowed to be around adults in that way. You need to go sit in the corner because adults are talking, or you need to go outside, play with your friends outside. You can never actively sit in a conversation with adults. So to hear that and be like, oh, I'm going to go with my dad to work, or oh, we're going to go chill at Uncle So-and-so's house and I don't have to sit in the room and
where are you from, if you don't want me to
play? South Africa.
Maybe so, Africa thing is the same for me.
We
couldn't go around sitting in a room.
You're not sitting around with adults, and also don't ask too many questions because
it's
I'm
not
working.
Your business.
Yeah,
it's so interesting because like the daytime conversations we were allowed to be in, and you'll just hear auntie and uncle are arguing, and like that's what's happening, or we cheated on her. That you'd hear those things.
No, we would hear those things.
I would hear that.
And it's only when it got about a bit later where I thought that whatever the fudge, and I'm 40 now, so this is about the same age of I would be now. What conversations they were having, but we would be told to go to bed. You know, your mum's about to start a conversation and she looks at you and she goes, you know what? Go to bed. And you're like,
ah! it was just getting
what's that conversation? I want it.
Yeah.
Have you ever just stood at the door?
No, listen. Like, I want to hear upstairs, this
conversation. Or like peek.
My mum needs to hear the doom, 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 doom.
Yeah, wait at the stairs.
Yeah. I discovered there's backslang in Yoruba.
Wow.
100%.
Backslang.
Backslang. Explain basically, that. Mum and her sister, when they wanted to get into juicy stuff, would start speaking in a dialect that us lot just didn't understand. So I thought, oh, maybe it's from their part of Nigeria that we're from, and the Yoruba that we speak, I just don't understand. And then I started asking people, like, oh, do you speak? It's like, no. And then one day I just got brave and I asked my mom, what is it that you talk? And she goes, oh, it's backslang. And she started doing the English version.
Nah, did you see the English version back in the day? The girls used to do it.
For the key, I never used to understand it.
Never, me either.
Wait, Taser. So hard. Wait, Taser, do that again.
For the key, for the guy, for the girl. 100%.
I'm like, what? There's a Yoruba version of it.
But they know.
They knew exactly. And they
were flowing. And we had to
get all the time to learn this.
And all they're saying is, I like him. He's going to chat to me and walk me to the bus.
Yeah. And they look at you and start laughing and you be like, huh?
So we had the same thing.
No, it's called.
It's I can't really do it in English. It has
no,
to be
it,
in my
do
vernacular.
It, do it, do it.
So it's called the Pietal. So it will be like you put a you replace no.
That's racist.
Oh my
that's
god.
That's racist.
That's
racist.
Keep
that's racist.
That in the edit. I want people to see the real Darwin.
Darwin, we have a big South African audience, and they're not polite.
No.
You
come
know South
me,
Africans
come
don't play.
Come at me.
So you replace P with every first vowel, I guess. You replace it. You just swap it around. So I would say, ekom no, epek epek napo. So you just put a P in every word.
Okay.
But it still sounds like the word, but if you're a child, you don't hear
it. Can you do that in English?
Like, my brain won't do it.
Right.
So... No, nah. My brain won't do
so
it.
So what did you just say, though? That's what we would love to know.
Ekom no, yeah. I'm coming now.
Oh. No, I'm never going to get that. My brain ain't going to do that.
But why would you need to say that in slang?
No, but I mean, I'm just making an example.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, if you was punishing your boyfriend.
Oh.
And so you didn't want him to know.
So I would switch into
that's where your mind went.
100%.
That's where your mind went.
Listen, my mind always travels to the weirdest place.
Like, oh, my dude.
Always goes to the weirdest place.
I thought someone was going to do it.
So your mind went there too?
I didn't want it to be me. No, I'm getting out there. That was you. That was all you.
So what I want to do is that I have a list of TV and film dads, black ones. And what I think will be good is... Let's discuss our most iconic, our personal favourites out of everyone on our list. I'm going to name them all out. First one is Uncle Phil, obviously, Fresh Prince.
Yep.
Then we have James Evans from The Good Times.
We have to say it. Come on. Because this is before anyone knew. So just say it.
Right, Cliff Huxtable. The character of Cliff Huxtable.
Yes.
The character. Andre Johnson from Black-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Julius from Everybody Hates Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Gardner from The Pursuit of Happiness. Mm-hmm. John Q from the film John Q. Have you seen that? You know, no.
I've
that's Denzel Washington.
Yeah.
No, when he's in the hospital. No, okay, cool. No. Furious Styles from Boys in the Hood.
Mm-hmm.
And Desmond Ambrose from Desmond's.
Yeah, Desmond. I mean, yeah. I think, you know what it is? I feel like at different points in your life, you relate to these people differently.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So like...
Yeah. Who's most like you now?
Michael.
No. I was gonna. I even thought that before you said it.
Because it's just pure ramping, but then when I pull it up on you, it's that might sound mad. No, it didn't sound too mad. But like the discipline to be had, basically. Wow.
I know. He's not a black dad, but Malcolm in the Middle, the dad from Malcolm.
Is that
in the Middle.
Brian Cranston?
Okay. Cranston. He was so cool. Like I was like, yeah, that's the sort of dad I want to be.
I never watched that, man.
Yeah, such a good show. Such a good show.
What about you, Taze?
Mine will be Michael Carr.
Really?
Yeah. My favorite part is when he has the meeting. Because we never had that in my house. Yeah. It was like, my house was run like a dictatorship. I say it all the time. Whatever my dad says goes. Like, we'll be having fun. Just fun. I don't know what it looks like, but it's just fun happening. Me, my brother, my sister, my mum. My auntie used to live with us as well. As soon as my dad come in, he had a word called fem. If he says fem, everyone has to be quiet. Fun done.
Wow.
What?
And you couldn't question.
Where are you from?
Nigeria. Yoruba.
Yoruba. Okay. Yeah. Oh, so fem, dad, fem.
No, yeah. But it was fem. Yeah.
Yeah, I know it.
Do you know what I mean?
Basically, shut up.
Shut up.
Quiet.
What? Means so quiet. Wait, so come through the door.
Through the door.
And shut
his phone,
up.
Phone's ringing, yeah? And he's on the phone probably chatting.
Yeah.
He's hearing background noise. Fem. And he continued talking. If you spoke after that, the licks you're getting, yeah.
You must have heard. If I hear mim, so it's the same.
Okay.
Basically, just right, it just right. A noise for sound.
Yeah.
But you see, if I hear pim, yeah, that usually came from someone who didn't really have much authority.
Yeah.
So it's like my mom.
Right.
So my mom will have authority when my dad's not there.
Yeah.
As soon as my dad walked in, so for example, my mom would say it's B.
Mm.
My dad walk in and say it's A.
Yeah.
No matter what the beat is.
Wow.
It was that kind of vibe. So I say it all the time on the pod, yeah. So my dad got himself in some trouble, so he hasn't been around for the past like 12 years. Mm. So I've had to step up and be like dad in the house. But I'm not dad, I'm son.
Mm. Yeah.
So technically it's still my mum's ruling, but I'm like, mum, you don't really do nothing right now. It was all dad when dad was here. Now it's on you. Nothing's really getting done. So me and my sister had to step in. Yeah. So my mom's telling me I can't do that. And I'm like, yeah, I can't do that. I'm paying the rent in this house.
What age did that start happening?
22, 23.
Yeah.
Bam.
You did that, yeah.
So it got to the point where, for example, like, even when girls are like, oh, you still live with your mom? And now my mom lives with me.
M1.
You know, I actually hate that narrative.
What's like, that your mom?
If someone's worthless and you aim that at them, like, oh, you're not, so like you live with your mum, but she's paying the bills and she looks after you, and then yeah, that should be targeted at that person. But some people, like, I think it's divided our community.
Or taking care of your family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And men don't want to admit that they live with their mum, even if they're looking after it. So you've said it with pride, but a lot of people won't.
I think but to be fair, a lot of the times we're meeting people and getting to know people, those conversations are had on surface level.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? When you actually get to know someone's situation and you realize what's going on, then you might actually admire them for it. It's like, you actually look after your mum. But on surface level, when you're meeting someone and passing quickly, it's just like...
But then does that make you not want to share stuff? Because I assume it's like... The truth of your situation never is perfect. You have a child, you're not with the mother, you live with your mum. In the sentence, that could be a woman on a podcast going to town on a man like that. But we all know, and everyone that does know you knows that's obviously not the case.
Yeah, but I'm not really fussed about what anybody has to say about my situation. The people that are in my situation are happy. My daughter's smiling. My daughter, like, look at the situation I had with my daughter's mum, for example. I have a woman that's going to be essentially in my life forever. And I have women I don't know telling me, I'd never date you because you have a daughter. I don't care. I don't care. Like, you know what it's like? At what point were we comparing? Or I'm going to say to you, do you know what? I hide her just to make you. Like, I don't care. So they can have all these conversations all they want. It doesn't apply over here.
No, I do hear that. I think it is interesting that I think when I was getting divorced, the amount of people that came up and almost surveyed me for what my next steps were going to be, It just threw me. Like, I'd been at the game for 15 years, so I had no insight as to what the world was welding. And I was like, coming out and being like, oh, that's interesting. Let me talk to this person and let me go for coffee with this person. And you sit down and I'm like, I'm being interviewed. Why are you interviewing me?
Yeah,
like,
it's mad.
My life is highly established. Like, I'm not going to start changing bits for you that don't make sense. Like, the mother of my children will always be in my life. Ooh, my life too, as well as my children's life. Yeah, so 100%. it's just a part of it. And it's interesting that, and I think... last month, there was someone who went on and was like, oh, all these broke boys. I remember it was a podcast. And it was the first time I saw mass resistance to women calling men broke in this particular era.
Well, recently.
Yeah. Like, it was the first time I saw an actual conversation where it's like...
I think it's all getting boring now, isn't it? Yeah.
And it's just stupid. It's a cost of living crisis. Like, I know how much money I make. And in a certain month, I'm like, yo, if one more thing comes out of my account before I'm ready, I'm going to be... Like, there's so many things you got to pay for, people to look out for. It ain't easy. So if you're just going to sit on a podcast and be like, oh, this guy's broke. He's giving me broke. He took me here and it's rubbish. I'm like, well, who are you dating?
By yourself then.
This is why I feel like a lot of people are into crime, because if you haven't considered your finances in the last 2 years, you're not paying tax. There's something you're not doing. You're on the run from something, because it's real. Like, it just is. Yeah. And I feel like now there's like a resistance to that type of dialogue, because we genuinely have to think about our next 15 years. That's where I'm at. I want to think about more of a time.
I think the other part of that conversation is just stay by yourself.
This is it.
Just stay by yourself. If you don't want to have a partner, stay by yourself. Because part of partnership is carrying that. When you're not good, that person carries you. When that person's not good, you carry them, or you support however you can. And so I think the other side of the conversation is, no one ever asked them, but why do you want a partner then? Like, why? If you're going to be talking about brokenness or they don't do this, they don't do that, stay by yourself. Because quite honestly, women are more happier by themselves in most of the times. They even say, oh, I was my happiest when I was single. It's a lot of work. And yes, relationships are a lot of work. So if you don't want to do the work, then stay by yourself.
Literally.
That's it.
I think a lot of them girls that carry that narrative are actually brass anyway.
So they're leaning into someone to, you know, carry them. Mm. And when they don't find it, it's a big hoo-ha now. We've got to talk about it. It's like, because if you was really solid in what you was doing and your pockets were...
It wouldn't matter.
It wouldn't even matter. Like, because you know what it's like. If you're someone that's on the go, you're working, you're patterned.
Mm.
You might want a bit of fun. You know you can do that casually.
Mm.
It ain't got to be about what you got and what you're earning and rare. You could, all you have to do is just fit silhouette right now, and that's it. Like, we can go and have this fun. We can do whatever we need to do and keep it professional.
Mm. I love how coded that was.
Do you get what I'm saying? Because it really is that. Simple. It really is that.
Do you
simple.
Guys remember that TikTok of that mom that came online with her son at the back, and she was like, "No, I need to stay here, stay in the background," and she was talking about this woman who went online. Complaining about this guy who took her on a first date, what the date was like, what the food was like, he was cheap, et cetera, et cetera. Same narrative. And the mom was like, I need to talk to these young ladies. And then she went on and said, show me your bank account. Mm. Show me where you go for dinner. Mm. Show me what you wear. Right. Show me what car you drive.
Yeah.
And it's so true, because I think I grew up with the mentality of you can't afford it, don't expect it.
Mm.
And so to be expected to be picked up in a Ferrari or Tesla or Bentley or whatever, am I aspiring to that? Can I afford that lifestyle without anyone else? Mm. And if I can't do that, then why am I in other people's business for? Mm.
There was an interesting take where a guy was saying the difference between what your dad is meant to do for you versus your man.
Oh, no. But that you was know what? But you know what? That comes from a place of misogyny.
Mm.
Some of them come from a place of misogyny, and that I don't agree with.
In what sense?
In the sense of they hate women for seeking better for themselves, right? And everyone
needs
to be aspirational.
I mean, as in a woman saying that I want these things from a man. Like, I want to, his reference was a woman wanting a man to pay her rent.
Oh.
And she said, that's not something for your man to do. I'll buy you bags. I'll buy you nice things. I'll take you for dinner. I'll spoil you. But your fundamentals should be provided by your dad. If not your dad, then your mom. If not your mom, your uncle. That is not my responsibility.
Yeah.
And I thought that was an interesting distinction between like how you approach it. Because I think the whole thing is now is like men have to be people's almost dads. Like it's an overarching caring of somebody it's limitless. There's no boundaries in terms of what you do for that person.
I just think as an adult, you shouldn't have that responsibility placed on someone else, even if it is your parents. You are an adult. The day that you reached 18, you were able to, you know, work and find a job and have means
from
for yourself.
So even
to say that you're a grown woman, where's your dad? That has nothing to do with your dad. That man's resting at home.
Well, this is what I'm saying. I was thinking. I don't know if I agree with that either.
Up.
Like your dad
Leave
and your uncle.
That man alone.
Yeah, nah, like from
your
able
responsibility.
Body. Yeah. Take care whatever you need to take care of, man. True. Like, you shouldn't look for it, man. Obviously, a little help here and there is probably nice and whatever, but the expectation levels of these people is absolutely, it's crazy.
We regress.
It's so ignorant. It's just coming across so stupid now, like, because it's such a rinsed narrative, and it's just like, come on, man. How many times have you got to be told now? Because you would see, these girls would see it, but again, it goes back to what we was even talking about earlier. I think a lot of these people who talk and have these narratives on podcasts are literally just doing it now because they want that uproar on the net. They want to shake it up a bit. They don't truly believe that. They can't possibly, because you would know, you're not stupid. People say, I don't read comments. Well, you read comments in it. And you will see that comments, even if they're just wayward or whatever, it will give you a gauge of what people really do think, however they're putting it across. You know what I'm saying? So for you to then act like you're ignoring that because you think like this, you're lying. I truly believe they're lying to themselves half the time.
Bro, out of all of those dads, if you had to co-parent with one of those dads, who would you pick? So let me just reiterate. Uncle Phil, James Evans from Good Time, Cliff Huxtable from The Cosby Show, Andre Johnson from Blackish, Julius from Everybody Hates Chris, Chris Gardner from The Pursuit of Happiness, John Quincy from John Q, Furious Styles from Boys in the Hood, and Desmond Ambrose from Desmond's.
Michael from My Wife and Kids as well. He's not on that list. He's not on that list, but I like a funny guy, you know? And
Cliff Huxtable was funny.
We're
talking about the character.
Nah, we've got to take him off the list because it's impossible.
No, let's talk about the character.
It's
let's
impossible
talk about the character. He had
to reference,
man.
Do you know why? Because the character and the person were so interlinked, it's impossible to reference him. So we're removing Cliff Huxtable from the list.
Yeah. Okay, I would say Michael. Everybody, not Everybody Hates Chris, sorry. Mm. I was thinking of kids. Julius from Everybody Hates Chris. Just
because of the muscles?
No, because he's such a hardworking man. Because he's such a hardworking man.
But he's very selfish though.
Very selfish, which I think is okay.
With money, only with money.
It's, I think it's okay for the circumstance of what where it's set as well. Mm. I would co-parent with Michael because he's funny. One, number two, he gets to the actual things by nature of humor. Mm. He gets his parenting done by nature of humor, and I think it's less harsh in that way. And also as a partner, if you have someone that takes himself too seriously in parenting, it's not fun. And he makes parenting fun. You could just see what's her name again? His wife,
Janet Jay.
Her name? Jay. She just had the most fun, you know. Sometimes you could see like the actual character breaking out of character because she just can't help but laugh. I think you need someone who just makes you laugh through the tough times because tough times will come and they will be there with both parenting and just in a romantic setup. Sometimes you won't like your person, but it's like, oh, let's just be friends, you know, because we're co-parenting this week. Let's just be friends. I just want to be your friend. But that's how you balance the romance and the co-parenting. Mm-hmm. It's sometimes you have to switch off and be like, come on, bruv, let's go. You know, school run or cooking or whatever.
I would have thought Uncle Phil would have been high up on that list.
I know we're talking about TV. Funny, but I know
he's really smart. He's a goal-getter. Yeah.
He was a judge, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He became a judge. He was a lawyer first.
Yes, that's true.
Okay. No. I don't see him as
Uncle
like
Phil too. He's kind.
He's cool.
But
I
he's
think
very
all
kind,
cool.
and the way he used to handle things.
Yeah, he was stern when he needed to be. Yeah. I mean, all the dads have aspects.
Look at Hillary. Mm.
But I feel as a whole, it's definitely Michael Carr for me because I'm definitely on.
No, but like again, the reason why I say circumstances, Hillary only got away with what she got away with because he was well off. Mm. If they were living like Julius from Everybody Hates Chris.
Right.
Hillary would have been a problem.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So we're talking TV, but maybe Will Smith's character from Pursuit of Happiness.
Yeah.
Mm. He didn't have a co-parent in that movie.
No,
really.
she ran out pretty quickly.
I
stopped fancying Fandy Newton because of that. Like literally, I was watching the movie.
That's a hard thing to do, man. She's a beautiful woman, bro.
She's a super beautiful woman. Super beautiful woman.
So you don't want to separate the character from
that.
You got him there, innit?
Touché, mon ami.
That was sharp still.
Yo. Nah, but it was hurtful though when you're watching that thing. Like, you left that young boy in the.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that was harsh.
I ain't seen it.
Yeah.
You ain't seen it?
You don't watch film, do you?
Not really. I like. I just watch YouTube, man. I like.
I'm gonna see Jay with conspiracy theories at 2 in the morning.
I am rabbit hole. I'm the rabbit hole guy. Yeah. Man,
that's the thing about YouTube. Anytime I go on there, I disappear down a rabbit hole. Like,
you'll find that in all sorts of places.
You'll find someone talking about whatever it is you want to find 100%. Out. Someone's spoken about it.
Right. Listen, I was watching some Hotep brother the other day talking about you should look at the sun because you're third eye. And I was like, boss, don't look at the sun. You'll burn your retina. Like, these men are saying anything. Yeah, it's getting too much. Yeah. Like, have you seen the breakdowns from the Cat Williams?
Oh, yeah, no, that's a minefield.
Like, oh my God, there's so many breakdowns and conspiracy theories. And I'm like, yo, it was just the stand-up.
Yeah.
Mm. That was a lazy comic doing a stand-up. 100%.
The thing is, it's funny because we were talking about the embellishing of what he was saying at times. And I feel like that's a part of, like, when you frame it from a stand-up, that makes sense. Like, that you're now just embellishing and being funny and playful. Like, even when he called Steve Harvey's hair a man unit. Like, it's just...
No, but I believe the afro.
We all did. Yeah, we all did. I knew it was a wig a while ago.
Yeah.
But, like,
yeah. But at the time,
100%.
Yeah, that was a haircut.
It was sharp.
It was crisp.
But when you go back and you look at certain things, like, for example, you know the Def Comedy Jam 25?
Oh, there were some inconsistencies.
Yeah. No, not even inconsistencies. If you watch it and
Mark
zoom
Curry.
In,
there's
Mark
Curry
sticking it on Steve Harvey.
Oh, what's 100%.
He saying? It's just on him. You can tell Steve Harvey's looking
stressed.
But he's on him. He's on him. So it's like, what Cat was saying was, there's truth to what he's saying.
Yeah.
No, there's a truth to a lot of what he's saying. He is
I think the person that came off the worst of that whole thing was said, like, that was unfair. Cat went too hard on him.
I still haven't finished it. What did he say?
Oh, he called him a walrus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he called him a walrus. And I saw it straight away, and that was the maddest thing. Exactly. I was dying.
Exactly. Said, oh, wow. Exactly.
But bear in mind, the comics that he spoke about, they've been on.
So he was just answering. So they've had their chance to say something.
So he's just clarifying, and obviously he added a bit more, but he was just defending himself essentially. He's just saying, how are you having all these liars on?
Yeah. On that Def Jam 25 thing, there's a point where Dave Chappelle is like, we want to find out if Kat's going to be here. And then Kat's like sitting right at the front. He's like, I wouldn't have said that if you were sitting there. But the awkwardness of Sed and Harvey, who are on stage doing an introduction, is so palpable. And this is years ago. So it's been in that relationship place for a very long time. I think the saddest thing was the stuff around Bernie and Steve. Steve Harvey, that was was the saddest part.
I felt that when I watched Kings of Comedy. And I even remember speaking to the guy that we all met through, saying that, there's some issues there because there's no way Steve Harvey can go after Bernie Mac. No way. Mm. Like, you're just not that category of
fighter. But in the final film, he hosts and Bernie closes.
He hosts, 100%. That's all he could do.
Yeah.
But I know his ego made him host as opposed to actually doing a set and whatnot. And
Did you hear the part where it says that Bernie Mac got the role in Ocean's 11 and then Steve Harvey called out the producers and said, I would be much better for the role. And in fact, you should cast me and I'll do it for less money. Mm. Yeah. That's the maddest thing, bro.
Mental.
Yeah.
That's
a big vial.
But this is it. These are the things that happen, man. Like, these are the things. They ain't a surprise at the same time. Mm.
Like, but I'm sure even hanging with, we've got a mutual friend. I don't want to say his name. But he's a stand-up. But you could see all the beefs between comics even over here.
Yeah.
And whatnot.
Right.
Like, you see, like, it's mad. It is mad. Mm. It is mad.
Industry, innit?
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.